today, we're going to continue on in our series that we started just a couple of weeks ago, and we're calling that No Superheroes, Just Ordinary People. And the idea of this series is to highlight how God uses everyday, ordinary people, people like you and I, to do incredible, extraordinary things. And we kicked this series off on June 2nd, and I laid out a theme for that day, and I hope you remember what that is, because I said it's not only a theme for that day, but it's really a theme for the whole month. And that theme was this: it's not about who you are, but it's about what you do. It's not about who you are, but it's about what you do. And we talked about Peter and John and how before being called to God, they were fishermen. They were out and they were just trying to make a living, trying to provide for their families, and then they were called to God, and God used these two to do some incredible, amazing things, right? And then on June 9th, Sam talked about Jephthah and how worthless people make the best instruments of God's will. And then last week, Sam spoke about Ananias and how God uses availability, not extraordinary ability. And that brings us to today. And the theme that I want us to think about today is this: using what we have to glorify God can reach people beyond our imagination. Using what we have to glorify God can reach people beyond our imagination. I think so many times in life, we think how we can glorify God. We think, how can we give back? How can we spread His word? How can we show God's love? And we get in this mindset that we have to come up with this huge, massive, elaborate plan to touch people for God, right? We think in order to do it, the only way to do it is to go on a mission trip out of the country. That's great. God works there, but that's the only way to do it. That's what we get in our mind. The only way to do it is if we have this drive and this drive and this drive, and that's great. God works in that area too, but that's we get in our mind, that's the only way to do it. To give X amount every single week to church, to give a donation of this size to this charity, and so on and so forth. We put so much importance on living life with the motto, go big or go home, that sometimes we never get to do anything at all. But all throughout the Bible, we've been seeing how God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Now, sure, I'm not making light of the big things that were done. I mean, Noah did build an ark, and for a while this week, I thought God was calling us to do the same thing. But today I want to focus on something small that made a massive difference. So if you have your Bibles this morning, if you will, turn to John 6 with me. This is the story of when Jesus feeds thousands and thousands of people with just a couple loaves of bread and a couple fish. And I'm going to read for you John 6, 5 through 13. And then I really want to focus on the middle of that scripture as we get into our conversation today. John 6, 5 through 13 says this: lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get even a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And then when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. I love this passage. And there is so much compounded into just these few verses. I love it. First of all, Jesus asks a question. Of course, he already knows the answer to the question, but he asks it anyway, and he allows his disciples to answer. And then you have Philip. And I feel like Philip was being like real here. Like, it was a serious conversation. He's like, "Man, dude, I don't know. 200 denarii, 200 days of work would still not be enough to feed these people. I don't know." And then Andrew speaks up. And I don't know that the dialect, how he said this here, but I kind of like to think this is how it goes down. Andrew finds this boy, right? And he's kind of like, in my mind, was a little bit sarcastic, maybe not, but he's like, "Hey, there's this boy, and he's got a couple pieces of bread and some fish. But Jesus, we're being real. Like, what is this really going to do here?" But then you have Jesus. And he's like, let me show you what that will do. And we talk time and time and time again about this miracle that was performed and the impact that it had on these thousands of people. But like I said, I want to focus on the middle of the scripture for just a little bit. Verses 8 through 11 specifically. It says, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a boy. This boy has five barley loaves and two fish. But what are they for so many? Jesus said, have the people sit down. Now there was much grass in place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. You see, I think so many times when we read through this story in the Bible, we think about the big thing, right? But we don't pay attention or we don't really talk about one of the most important people, one of the most important pieces of the story. We don't ever really talk about the little boy, do we? Well, and it's probably because we don't know a whole lot about him. We don't know his name. We don't know his age. We don't really know anything about him. But we do know this. He plays a vital part of this miracle. You see, when Andrew found this boy with this bread and this fish, we don't know how the conversation went down. But we do know this. The conversation is not what is important. It is the action that makes the difference. Remember the theme for this series? It's not about who you are, but it's about what you do. It's the action that makes a difference. This little boy in this story gave what he had. Did he ever expect what he had to feed thousands and thousands of people? Probably not. Was he just trying to do the best he could to help as many people as possible? Yeah, maybe. Does Jesus use this little boy to do something extraordinary? Absolutely. God wants to work in your life. He wants to use what you have to do something amazing. So as I mentioned earlier, I just got back from CIY this week, but I want to share with you a story that came out of CIY 1 year ago. Some of you here know that I own an insurance agency. So we were at CIY last year, and kids, for whatever reason, thought it would be funny to take like all my business cards out of my truck, and they're walking around CIY handing them to everybody. It doesn't matter if it's like a 13-year-old kid or an adult leader, the MC, it doesn't matter. But they were like, I went through 100 or some business cards. They also thought it would be really funny to try to get like on stage and on camera and say something about my business, which is cool, whatever. That's funny, right? Well, on Wednesday of that day, we had an extended recreation time. And they got it in their mind to make a commercial for my business. And I'm not going to lie, the commercial was fantastic. But these kids came together. And they came together for a common goal over just a couple of hours. And I saw this video, this commercial, and I posted it to social media. Over the next couple of days, just 2 or 3 days, that video was viewed over 1,000 times. Like, I was absolutely blown away. But it's a fantastic lesson for us to learn here. You see, we spoke to our students after that about the fact that the reach of this video was unreal, right? And we talked about what would happen or what could happen if you had the same fire and the same passion for Jesus. Like, what if you made a video just like this? It was all about Jesus, and you put it on Facebook, and it was viewed by over 1,000 people. What would happen? So many times we think the little things, the fun stuff, the posting a video to social media, the little things in our life, they won't make an impact because there's no way they can reach so many people. So what's it really matter? God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And I think it's because sometimes we don't view ourselves in the way that God views us. I mean, look at Ephesians 2:10. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Some versions, depending on what you have in front of you, will say that we are his creation or we are his masterpiece. Literally, we were created by God to do something. These good works, which God prepared beforehand for us to do, that means that this little boy in this story, he was created, and he was molded And he was placed in this situation at this exact time for an exact reason. Purpose. God uses us all for a purpose in our life. And have you ever stopped to think about what your purpose is? I mean, we've all been asked that question in our life before, right? What is your purpose? What's the purpose of your life? Well, my purpose is to land this amazing job. You know, I went to school and I got my degree and I've worked my whole life toward this career. So my purpose is to land this amazing job. Well, my purpose is to marry my soulmate, right? We're all told that we grow up, we fall in love, and we live happily ever after. So that's my purpose. Well, my purpose is to raise great kids. I've got the good job and the hot wife, but now I've got to raise the good kids, right? That's my purpose. My purpose is to make a lot of money, and so on and so forth. That's the purpose of life, right? You're born, and you go through times in your life where there's check boxes that you mark off with these goals that you have in mind. But we are his creation, created to do good works. How many of you have answered the purpose question that way? Well, my purpose is to fulfill what God has planned for me. My purpose is to follow him. My purpose is to live for him, to believe in him. My purpose is to really believe that he has laid out good works for me to accomplish that will ultimately further his kingdom. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. See, guys, what this verse is telling us to do is whatever you do, do it for God. Whatever you do in your life, do it for a purpose. Whatever you do, do it for God and do it for a purpose using the gifts that I have been given, because I'm a masterpiece, because I'm created perfectly by God. Like it says in Ephesians, he gave me these gifts that I'm going to use to bring praise and glory to God. That will ultimately bring more people to God. That is my purpose in life. That was the purpose of this little boy in the story, right? It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your social status. It doesn't matter your anything. God has created you. God has gifted you. And God wants to use you for a purpose. God will use the little things in life to do something amazing. And it can be as small as posting a video to social media. It can be as easy as helping a friend or a neighbor move. It can be something like helping in our kids' area at church on a Sunday morning. It can be setting up chairs before church service on Sunday, being on the greeting team, or it can be giving away some bread and some fish to help feed other people. You see, guys, it comes down to this. It's not about the right time, right place thinking, but it's about God's timing and plan for my life is always perfect thinking. But what about the rest of the story? God uses this ordinary little boy to do something amazing, but he wasn't done yet. Danny Budu, one of our elders here, posted on social media this week while we were gone, and his post said this. It says, when we see obstacles, God sees opportunity. Let me share with you an obstacle that came up this week while we were at CIY. On Wednesday morning, the university that we were at lost all power, campus-wide, just before we went into our main session. So they were running on some backup generators. They only had some emergency lights going, but everything was out. Now, if you know anything about CIY worship, you would know that our students would call it lit, right? Like there's a lot of lights, there's a lot of fog, and it's just a lot of fun. It's pretty awesome. You go in there and you sing and you jump around and you dance around and you worship, and it's a good time. But there's no power. Man, you talk about an obstacle to overcome. Who wants to be the adult that goes in front of 1,000 teens and says, we don't have any of this show behind us, right? But we went into this worship center, and we had an amazing time of acoustic worship with 1,000 of our closest friends. There was no lights. There was no fog. there was no screens to tell us the words of the song. It was all by memory, by our just singing with our heart. There was no anything. You see, what we viewed as a possible obstacle, God viewed as an opportunity. He took that time to remind us that life is not about the lights. Life is not about the fog. Life is not about the show. This was one of the best worship sets of the week. It was truly focused on nothing else besides God. And it was amazing. The disciples in this story, they see thousands of people. And all they see is this massive obstacle in the way. Jesus sees an opportunity. He sees an opportunity to use someone ordinary to do something extraordinary. Guys, we are the people in this story. We are drowning in opportunity. Yet all we see are obstacles. You know, I don't have enough money to give 10% to the church. I don't have enough time in my life to serve in our kids' area on Sundays. I don't. God is just asking for something from you. It says in 2 Corinthians 9, 7 and 8, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God is asking for your something. I mean, I think it's the least that we can do, seeing that he sent his son to die for us so that we may spend eternity in heaven with him. He's saying, just give me what you have decided in your heart to give and do it cheerfully. And if you do so, God will bless you and he will give you what you need to accomplish the good works that he has prepared ahead of time for you. You don't feel that you can give 10% to the church? God says, that's okay. Give me what you can. Allow me to use what you have to impact people beyond your imagination. You don't have enough time to serve in the kids' area every week? God says, that's okay. Give me one Sunday morning a month. And allow me to bless these kids with your presence, and your impact will be bigger and greater than you could ever imagine. Little boy, you don't have enough food to feed these thousands and thousands of people. God says, that's okay. Let me show you what I can do when you give me what you have and you do it with a cheerful heart. And you know what's amazing? You start to trust God. You start to give little by little, and he shows you that you have as much as you need and more than you think. This little boy gave 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. In verse 12, the disciples go to gather the leftovers, and they fill up 12 baskets of food that are left over. Now, I know math is hard, especially like the word math problems in the form of a story. It's not my jam, right? But the only thing I can come up with, the only answer to this question and this math problem, is that God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And he will provide you with what you need to accomplish the works which he has planned out before you. And that's the last thing I want to talk about from this message that we're focused on today. When God provides for us, we need to make sure that we're being obedient and not wasteful of the gifts and the blessings and the resources that he gives each of us. One of the last things he tells his disciples to do is to gather the pieces that are left over so that nothing is lost or wasted. Just as we spoke about a few moments ago, when we think that we don't have enough, God says, let me show you what I can do with what you do have. When God blesses us and he shows us the impact that we can have on so many people, shows that a lot of times we have more than we think and more than we really need, then it's our responsibility to make sure nothing is left to go to waste. Using everything he gives in a way to reach and bless people. The Bible tells us in Luke 16 that those who are faithful with a little can be trusted with much. When we show God that we're living for him and giving him what we have to glorify him, he's able to bless us with more. When we're blessed with more, we need to make sure that we're not wasteful and we continue to use what we've been given to go out and reach other people. One thing that we learned this past week at CIY was that our God is a sending God. Now, I don't know what that means for you. Our God is a sending God. To me, that means that God has a story for each of us. It means that just like the superheroes in the movies, there's a storyline that you are living out right now in your life. It's a storyline that God has created and planned out perfectly. A storyline with a plan and a purpose, and He's equipped us to handle everything and anything that comes our way. He is sending us into life knowing that we're going to run into opportunities, obstacles in our minds, but opportunities in His to spread the love of God. He's going to put you in a position that will make you realize that the only thing you can do is trust Him. And it's how you handle these situations. Superheroes use their superpowers to do remarkable things. And sure, you might not be flying around in an Iron Man suit. You might not turn into this big green thing. And you might not be Captain America. But let me tell you something, guys. We have something better. We have something bigger. We have something with more power than these heroes could ever dream of. And you're able to use it as well. You have the Spirit of God that lives inside of you, that protects you, that guides you, that leads you. You have this Bible, this word, this love letter that Jesus wrote to us, knowing that we're in times of need, that we can go here and we can read what He's written for us. And you have a loving Father that cares for you, cares for you so much. He did this super crazy thing, and He sent His Son, His one and only Son, this perfect man, to come to this earth and to die for us so that we may spend eternity in heaven with Him. Our God is a sending God. He's sending us to do something amazing. What is He sending you to do? This little boy may not have known or understood what God was sending him to do. And the thing is, we may not know either until we're, or what we're being sent out to do until we are in the situation. But nevertheless, God is using you and I to do something amazing. And remember, it's not about who you are, but it's about what you do. And when we use what we have to glorify God, we will be able to reach people beyond our imagination. Let's pray. Dear Holy Father, thank You so much for being a sending God. I thank You so much for the opportunities, not obstacles, the opportunities that You place in our lives to reach other people, Lord. I pray this week that we view them as such, that we know that You're placing us in these situations for a reason, God, and I thank You so much for that. I pray that You continue to show Your love to each and every single person in this room, Lord. I thank You for everything You do for us. It is in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.